Soon after graduating from college in 2008, Francisco Cantu joined the United States Border Patrol. He spent the next 4 years as an agent, mostly right along the U.S.-Mexico border in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. His very personal, often wrenching memoir of that time and its aftermath is The Line Becomes a River, Dispatches from the Border. I'm Spencer Beckwith for KUNM, and Francisco Cantu is with me now. Francisco, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
This book is, of course, an account of what you did and what you saw as a border agent, but it's also very much about your reactions to that job. Did you see the personal side as an essential part of this story?
The book, for me, really began as a way of making sense of my time in the Border Patrol and making sense of what I had participated in. So I think from the start, it was a very individual, specific, personal accounting of that. And as I sort of moved through the writing process, specific questions emerged. And one of the central questions of the book is sort of, what are the ways that we are made to normalize violence in our lives? So, you know, it starts from a very individual place, but I think tries to look outward from that place in a broader way.
Would you give me your definition of normalize violence? What does that mean to you?
Looking back at my time in the Border Patrol, I was trying to grapple with the fact that, you know, I had participated in and perpetuated a lot of policies that, you know, when I look at them now, seem, you know, inherently flawed and deadly in many respects. But of course, you know, for me, I was someone that entered the Border Patrol with a lot of, I think, idealism and naivete, and I had a lot of specific questions that I had entered the Border Patrol trying to answer. And so my experience when I looked back was trying to figure out how I had so quickly been made to put those questions away in order to get through the training experience. And when I was in the field every day, just to get up every day and get ready to go out again and do the work again.
There is a rhythm in your book of your dreams, recurring nightmares, actually. Dreams are very tough to write about. Did you hesitate to include descriptions of your dreams?
Some of the first writing that I did, you know, that ended up becoming part of this book was perhaps 6 months to a year after I had quit the Border Patrol. And a lot of that writing came straight out of this journal that I kept, especially during those first few years in the field. And mostly what was in that journal were descriptions of these conversations and encounters that I had with people that were crossing the border, most of whom were crossing for work or to reunite with their family or fleeing violence in their home countries. And, you know, I when I think about that journal now, what I realize is that I was really attempting to write these things down so that I wouldn't forget them. Because I knew that if I didn't write them down, they would be gone. And many of them are lost to me now because I never wrote them down. That's sort of what I started with. And the other thing that was in those journals were some of the dreams that I would have. And a lot of these dreams were so jarring that I had this compulsion to write them down. Because I began to feel after a certain amount of time, especially with these dreams that were sort of recurring, you know, that my subconscious was trying to tell me something. And when I began writing, it was, you know, a long, drawn-out process of trying to find out what that was. I was sort of investigating those dreams, reading Jung and Freud and going to internet chat rooms and looking up, you know, what does it mean when you dream about a wolf? What does it mean when you dream that your teeth are falling out? Those kinds of things.
You said, Francisco, that you were writing this journal so you wouldn't forget. Were you also writing so that you could write afterward and write articles or write a book, or was that not part of the motivation for keeping a journal?
No, that wasn't really part of my equation. When I came into the Border Patrol, I really came in looking at the experience as an extension of my education. I had studied immigration and border issues in school. And I was really looking to kind of connect the dots with a lot of that book learning that I had done. And I thought somewhat naively that I would get answers to all these questions and that I would be able to do that work for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years and then sort of come out of it equipped with this toolbox of answers that would enable me to go on and be like some amazing policymaker or an immigration lawyer or something like that. So, you know, writing them down in the journal was really mostly for myself. But I think I was also keeping that journal because I knew that there's something vital in those conversations, in having an interaction with a man and his pregnant wife or two boys who just lost their uncle in the desert and you see a dead body and, you know, you feel that there's some answer underneath all of that, right? That maybe if you just write it down and keep it in one place, you can come back to it and make sense of it later. I think that was part of it.
The details of those encounters that make them come alive.
You know, a lot of, especially the first section in this book, I mean, a lot of those are lifted almost straight out of the journal. A lot of those details, you know, I would just kind of write down the conversation and, you know, these little descriptors of the place or of what someone was doing while they were talking. Just kind of like a sketch to fill in with your own memory, you know, enough jotting down enough so that you could bring that image back to your mind or bring that memory back to your mind years later. And so I think when I started putting it into a book, I wanted to have a similar effect on the reader. You know, you want to leave enough room for the reader to connect these stories with their own sense of who they are or their own sense of humanity, because so many of these are human stories. So I thought a lot about keeping it intimate.
You really, in this book, do not address the political side of what is, of course, a very, very contentious issue. Why not?
One thing is that for people who live along the border, they might have the experience of, you know, seeing all of these eyes turned now toward the border with this heightened rhetoric and all of these people now having an opinion about what goes on here. But I think, you know, if you've been living in this part of the country for a long time, the realities of what people go through when they cross the desert, the enforcement realities have remained largely unchanged for the last several decades. A lot of the solutions that we're talking about right now are the same sorts of solutions that we were talking about a decade ago. I remember being in college and, you know, there was literally a build the wall bill that passed through Congress and it was called the Secure Fences Act of 2006. It came with a lot of money to hire new Border Patrol agents. I was part of that, the tail end of the sort of Bush hiring push. And that's exactly the same thing that we're talking about doing now, is building walls and hiring more Border Patrol agents. So it seems almost beside the point if you live in the borderlands, right? Because what you see is that the reality is a human reality. It's a reality of the individual who is caught up in this massive deportation industrial complex or border security enforcement complex. And I think we lose sight of those individuals in our debate all the time. If you look at the rhetoric that we use to talk about migration, it completely dehumanizes and sort of minimizes the migrant. You know, we talk about a flood of migration or an uptick in migration as if migrants are this, you know, line that can be plotted upon a graph. We talk about, you know, a cat and mouse game at the border. And I think what all of that rhetoric does is it encourages us to think of migrants as part of this indistinguishable mass one person no different than the next. And I think we have to reject that way of talking about these things.
Francisco Cantú's new memoir of his 4 years as a federal agent on the U.S.-Mexico border is titled The Line Becomes a River, Dispatches from the Border. Francisco, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me and for your questions.
For KUNM, I'm Spencer Beckwith.